board. Okay, so we're moving on to our second shiur in this series, B'tech Hashem, tonight. And last week, if you remember, we went through the trying to understand the philosophical understanding of kashrut, the reasons for it. We went through the different rishonim for the reasons of kashrut. Remember, some learned it's got to do with cruelty, some learned there are many different reasons. And in the end, we gave a holistic approach to the whole understanding of kashrut. That was last week's shiur. Tonight, we move on, and hope everyone has a soul sheet, or at least sharing with someone. Tonight, we move on to a very interesting topic, before we get into the halachot. So next week, we're going to get into the halachot for the next few weeks, following that, into the halachot of kashrut. And at that juncture, we will talk also about eating out, vegetarian restaurants, vegan restaurants, all that type of stuff. That will come in a later shiur. Tonight, we're trying to understand philosophically the concept of veganism. Is this something which can be reconciled with Torah? In fact, not just is it something which can be reconciled with Torah, but furthermore, is it something which the Torah has an opinion about? Is the Torah pro-veganism? Is it against veganism? Or it just has no opinion about it? So that's going to be tonight's discussion. And we'll try to understand what the true Torah perspective is on veganism. So before we begin, we have to understand what is veganism. And so we know there are vegetarians, we know there are vegans. Vegetarian is normally someone who abstains from meat, chicken and fish. And a vegan is someone who goes beyond that, dairy products, etc. That's a vegan. Veganism is the philosophy. It's the principle. It's not just a person's actions. Some people may be vegans, not necessarily because of animal cruelty, just because that's their diet. That's what's good for their health. Veganism is the idea, and the definition is from the Vegan Society. Veganism is a way of living which seeks to exclude, as far as is possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purposes. So, vegetarianism, a person who's a vegetarian, a person who's a vegan, people just don't eat these type of stuff. Veganism is the idea that you're not going to have any benefit, any use of any animal products, or anything which has gone through, has been processed through animal cruelty. That is the philosophy of veganism. And so, that's going to be our understanding. So we're not looking, again, we're not talking about specifically people who are vegetarians, people who are vegans, talking about the philosophy of veganism, right? That's going to be the discussion of this evening, what the Torah's perspective is on it. So, surely, let me just throw it out. What do people think is would be, the, you know, on by default, without thinking too far, what would you think the Torah's perspective is about eating meat and using animals for our benefit and gain? Any suggestions?
It's acceptable.
Is it acceptable? Okay, good. En simcha, ela, yeah, good. Korban Pesach, yeah, very good. So, definitely, the starting point. So let's try to aim next week. If we can try to aim next week with 7:45, if we can begin then, it would be great. If we can begin at 7:45. Okay. So, coming back. So we're saying that the starting point definitely is that it's incompatible, the philosophy of veganism and the Torah. Because throughout the Torah, like you've all said, you know, from beginning to the end, you've got sacrifices, the whole Parashat Vayikra, the whole Sefer Vayikra, the book of Vayikra, which we're reading now, right? All the sacrifices which we read last week's Parasha in Emor, which we will read again in Pinhas, which we read in Vayikra, in Tzav, it's full of killing animals. That's what it's all about. That was the role of the Kohen. The Kohen's role was to actually slaughter animals. That's what the Shohet is. We have meat on Chagim. We know there's a mitzvah to have meat on Chagim. Just 2 days ago, on Pesach Sheni, we had a special day to commemorate what? Pesach Sheni has got nothing to do with Pesach itself. People think Pesach Sheni is a second Pesach. It's not. There's no second Pesach. All there is a second Korban Pesach, the second chance to offer the Paschal Lamb. Pesach itself, if you, for whatever reason, a person was ill, a person didn't have matzah, and the whole 7 days of Pesach he didn't eat matzah, there is no concept of the following month on Pesach Sheni eating matzah in order to rectify somewhat he didn't eat of the previous month. There's no such concept. There's no mitzvah like that. Pesach Sheni is the mitzvah specifically. We had the second Pesach to commemorate the idea that there were people in historical times who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, couldn't bring the lamb, and they got a second opportunity. And we know the focus, today not so much, but historically the focus of Pesach, of the festival of Pesach, was of course the Korban Pesach. That was the main point. On the eve of Pesach in the afternoon, when everyone would gather together in Yerushalayim and they would bring the Korban Pesach, the whole Pesach is called after and it's orientated around the concept of the lamb. And so, obviously, killing animals is something which is, it's clear, is part of our Torah. Similarly, one of the first halachot in Hilchot Shabbat is that a person should enjoy the Shabbat. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, how do you enjoy Shabbat? With meat and fish and good delicacies. And so it's clear that we have this this idea that the Torah seems to be promoting killing animals and slaughtering them. Okay. However, as we will see this evening and we'll discover, things aren't as simple as you think they may be. And we're going to have to understand how, if things aren't as simple as we've said they are, then how do we understand all the sacrifices in the Torah? So the starting point, this is going to be our focus this evening. Number one, if you have a look at your source sheet, number one. This is really the core pasuk which we're going to focus on tonight. This is a pasuk we read 2 weeks ago. Parshat Acharei Mot. And it says, let's read the Hebrew and English. Ish mi b'nei Yisrael o min hager hagar b'tocham. Any person, asher yatsud tzed haya off, who hunts and he traps an animal, or a chicken, or a bird, asher ya'achel, which is edible, v'shafach et damo, he should spill its blood, v'chisau be'afar, and he must cover it with earth. This is the source for one of the 630 mitzvot of Kisui Hadam. You ask any shohet, this is one of the most important things he does. After slaughtering the animal, then he has to take the blood and he has to cover it. This is called Kisui Adam. Not just he has to cover it, but there's a bracha, there's a blessing to make. Baruch Ata Hashem, Asher Kiddishanu Tzav Tzvanu, sanctified us. Asher Kiddishanu Mitzvotav, who sanctified us, Al Mitzvat Kisui Adam, on the mitzvah of covering the blood. And this is the source for it. When you slaughter an animal, then you must Kisau Be'afar, we said you must cover up the blood with the earth. Now, when we read this verse, we're not in any way thinking of anything, any crime here or any murder. You know, these are innocent words, right? A person who slaughters, he spills its blood and he covers it in earth. However, the words, if you think about it, of covering up, right? Covering up blood, when we use that metaphor in English, what do we mean when we say someone's covering up the blood? Yeah, and it means he's killed. That's a murder normally. Where else in the Torah? Only one other place where we find in the Torah the phrase of covering up in the earth. Only one other place. No. It says Vayachet, it doesn't say, it says Vayachet Amitzi v'itmeneh b'chor. It says he hit him and he buried him in the sand. I want to know the covering up, I want to know. No, it doesn't say covering up there. Coming up. So, if you remember, with Yosef and his brothers. So Yosef was approaching his brothers, and they saw him from afar, and they say to each other, you know, the dream is here, had enough of him, let's kill him. And they all agree, let's kill him. Pipes up Yehuda, and Yehuda says, it's not a good idea. What are we going to gain from killing him? We're not going to make any money from it. And why should we kill him? Better, let's sell him as a slave, and at least we'll make some money from it. Look at what he says. Look at number two. Mabetza, look at number two on your source sheet. Mabetza, ki naharog et ahinu v'chisinu et damo. What will we gain if we kill our brother, says Yehuda, v'chisinu et damo, and we cover up his blood. That's the only other expression in the Torah where we have this idea of covering up blood. That's with Yosef. And what's that talking about? Clearly it's talking about murder. Right? Yehuda is exhorting his brother, he's saying, let's not kill him. What financial gain will we have if we kill him and we cover up his blood? Best, let's leave him and sell him on as a slave. So you clearly see, if you have a look back at number one, you see this covering up. Covering up blood, you see both number two, you see this connection between the two. And similarly, you have the same thing in Yeshaya as well. I don't know why the Hebrew is not there. Okay, in Yeshaya, you have a look at number three on the source sheets. For behold, Hashem comes forth from his place to visit the iniquity of the dweller of the land upon him, and the land should reveal its blood, and it shall no longer conceal its slain ones. So the Hebrew expression, I don't know, should have brought it. The Hebrew expression is the kisui, the land is covering. The same expression of covering. Yeshaya says, the prophet Isaiah says, that Hashem is going to come and bring judgments for all the blood that's been covered. So perhaps you'll say, fine, okay, this is coincidental that there are two places in the Torah that you have this borrowed expression of covering up in blood. But have a look back at number one. Have a look back at number one of the Hebrew. So again, ish ish ibn Yisrael min ager b'tucham asher yatzu tzit hayaof asher yachel v'shafach et damo. So we focused on the last two words, covering up the blood. Now let's focus on these words, v'shafach et damo, and he spills the blood. What does that sound like, spilling blood? Right? That sounds like killing. That sounds coming quite harsh. V'shafach et damo, you know, killing, spilling blood. Look at number four on the sheet, Pasukum Yehezkel. By the blood that you have shed, again, the Hebrew is the damam shenishpach, the blood that you have shed, you have become laden with guilt, and by your idols that you have made, you have become defiled. And so, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Shechita, Parashat Achremot, it's using two expressions which by themselves, in the context where we're talking about animals, seem very innocent. But when we take them and we analyze them and we spread them out to other places, we see these are actually loaded metaphors, right? V'chisal be'afar, covering in earth. That's the expression we have with Yosef. V'shafach edamo, pouring blood, right? Spilling blood. That's the expression we find in the Torah when it talks about murder. And so it seems to be the Torah saying, yes, you can slaughter, but there's some sort of crime going on here as you are slaughtering this animal. And so we have to understand, how can this be? As we said earlier on, there's a mitzvah of covering the blood. To the extent, I make a bracha on it. I'm making a blessing on covering the blood. And, you know, the Torah is giving us, it's one of the 630 mitzvahs. When you kill an animal, you cover its blood. And so there seems to be like a mixed message here. Yes, you can kill the animal, you can spill its blood, murder the animal if you wish, but just make sure to cover it up in the earth, cover over your sin of slaughtering. That seems to be the impression we're getting from this verse. So that's what we're going to try to understand. Why is this the case, and what's the depth of this? So today we're very used to eating. You go out to a dinner. Are there any, just before, any vegetarians here? Any vegetarians or vegans? No? Okay. So all of us are all complicit.
Change the
subject. Yeah. So we're all used to eating, every one of us here are used to eating meat and chicken to our heart's desire. And what we need to recognize is this wasn't always the case. This definitely wasn't always the case. And it could be, it won't be the case in the future. So, all those who are praying very hard for Mashiach, you know, you have to know what comes with it. Yeah, and we'll see. So have a look at number five. So number five is in the first parak of Bereshit. This is when Adam HaRishon is being created and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam and he says, I've given to you et kol esev, all the vegetation, et kol ha'etz asher bo fried zorei azara, and all the trees with fruit, all vegetation, every tree that has a fruit with a seed inside, to it shall be for food. There is absolutely no mention of meat here. Right? There was no mention of meat. All vegetation, all fruit, says God to Adam, enjoy it and eat it. No mention of meat, birds, or even fish. Nothing at all. But then, and the Midrash on this Pasuk, Midrash Agadah on this Pasuk says, this following expression, Lo bara kadosh baruch hu briyotav amanat sheyamutu. God didn't create His creations in order they should be killed. And therefore, God initially gave Adam only vegetation and trees for Adam to enjoy and to eat. But then, we have the story of the Mabul, the flood. Noah goes into the ark, and he comes out, and he offers some sacrifices. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back and he says, have a look at number 6. He says, Kol remes asher hu chai lachem ye le'ochla. All moving things, all animals, every living thing, you can now eat. Kiyerek esev natati lachem et kol. I'm giving it to you like the vegetation. Have a look at the English. All animals, every living thing I'm now giving to you is food. Just like I gave you the plants, now I'm giving you everything. And we tend to forget that from Bereshit to Noach, the Parashiot, there's over 1,000 years there. Right, we don't realize that because we go from one week to the next, Bereshit to Noach, and we think it's just one week. But it's a huge amount of time between Adam and Noach. 1,500 years we're talking about. Right? And so, he comes out, Noach, after 1,000, to be precise, 1,656 years. The flood occurred 1,656 years after the creation of the world. So for 1,656 years, human beings are not eating animals. All they're eating is vegetation. Noah comes out, and Hashem says, now I'm giving you all the living things, I'm giving it to you as food for you to eat. And so we'll come to that. So that's interesting. So Ramban there on this Pasuk, he says, that Noach was being rewarded for the sacrifice which he brought. He was being rewarded that he could now eat. And that's one approach of understanding it. It's like, you know, now you've moved on, you've progressed. Before you could only have vegetation, now you can have animals. And that's the way the Ramban seems to understand it. However, there is a Gemara which seems to imply that actually this was some sort of concession. And let me explain. Rabbi Yosef Albo, who was from the 15th century, from Spain, philosopher, he explains as follows. He says, like you said, that actually it was a concession. Meaning, initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and his ambition was that human beings will only consume vegetation and plants and fruit for us to live on. And I'm not going to go into that now, but it's something which the medical, the people in medicine can talk about is, would our bodies have been able to, obviously, if people for 1,656 years were only having vegetation, then our bodies are built for that, and therefore we can live off such a lifestyle. You know, very often you hear people saying that vegans are not good for their diet, they're not eating, they're not ingesting these foods. But you see, for over 1,000 years, people were doing that. Unless you say different types of bodies in those days.
That's why they were
very good. Very good. Yeah. So, okay, that's a discussion. How exactly would have lived? But the point is, says Yosef Albo, God's intention when He created the world was only to us to have consumed vegetation. However, God, as it were, changed His mind after the Mabul, and He said, Noach, now you can have meat. Why? Why did He, as it were, change His mind? He says something amazing. He says, go to Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel, what happened? Cain and Hevel brought offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hevel bring? Huh? Which korban? Korban from what? An animal korban. What did Cain bring? Kohanim brought a vegetable korban. Whose korban was accepted? Kain, Hevel's korban was accepted. Says Rabbi Yosef Albo as follows. He says, obviously God wants sacrifices. And because there was no clear distinction at the time, because at that time, all living creatures were out of bounds. You couldn't kill a living creature, both a human and an animal. Cain sees his brother Hevel killing an animal. Killing an animal, and it's offered, and it's accepted. He brings the vegetation, and it's not accepted. So he thinks to himself, it must be when it comes to sacrifices, then you're allowed to kill. What are you allowed to kill? Any living creature. You're allowed to kill an animal, you're allowed to kill a human being. According to Alba, Cain was the first human sacrifice. It wasn't an act of murder. He killed him, but he was sacrificing him to God. Now, it sounds crazy, because we're not used to such a concept. But it's a very interesting theory. And if you think about it, it makes sense. And Rav Kook will come to later on. He was very pro-vegetarianism. But he said, on a practical level, it's not a good idea. Because then the distinction between the animal kingdom and human beings will be blurred. And that's what happened. There was this blur between these two kingdoms. And this caused Cain to offer his brother Hevel as a sacrifice. And also, adds in Rabbi Yosef Albo, that there was a lot of murder going on at the time. No, the time of Noah, all the Hamas, all the violence. And so God realized, as it were, that human beings need to have an outlet. And they have to be very clear the distinction between animals and human beings. And so Noah comes out of the Teva. And Hashem says to Noach, let's make something very clear now. Let's make the line between animals and humans clear. I'm going to allow you to eat meat. You can eat meat. You can kill animals. But, what? Don't kill human beings. What do you think, that pasuk which we just read, if you have a look at number, we read the number 6. Okay, we read number 6 where Noach comes out of the ark and Hashem says that you can have the animals. What do you think the next pasuk is going to say? Look at the next pasuk, number 6. Have a look at number 7. Number 7 and number 8. So the next pasuk, 9:4. So number 6 was 9:3. Chapter 9, verse 3. That's giving him permission to eat the meat. Then, chapter 9, verse 4. Ach basar benafsho damo lo tochelu. Even though I'm allowing you to eat meat, to kill animals, don't have it with blood. There are two ways to understand this. Either don't eat it with the blood, you have to kasher it from the blood. And also the idea of ever min achai, the idea that you can't have a limb, you can't have a part of an animal before it's been fully killed. Right? So God's saying, I'm allowing you to kill animals, but the blood, don't eat that. The blood, why? Because I'm allowing you to eat the animal. Fine, so you can have dead flesh. But blood is what gave life to this creature. That I'm not going to allow you to eat. That you have to get rid of all the blood. The next pasuk, literally the next pasuk, look, have a number 8 on your sheets. Va'ach edim chen al-shotechem edrosh. Continue the Hebrew. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech ki betzelem Elohim asayt ha'adam. Whoever sheds the blood of man through man, shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. You see what's going on here? So Hashem is saying, says Yosef Albo, Hashem is saying, fine, I'm going to allow you to eat meat. I'm going to allow you to kill animals and to kill birds. What's not clear, by the way, whether fish was, what was fish part of, but we won't discuss that now. But meat and animals weren't allowed. Now, I'm allowing you. But be very careful. Firstly, two things you need to be careful. Number one is, don't have the blood. That's detestable. The blood which gives this thing life, you to go and eat it, that's not acceptable. And also, be careful. Just because I'm allowing you to kill animals, doesn't mean you can kill human beings. If you kill a human being, then you're going to be punished because of the image of God. Human beings are different to animals. We have that image. So what are we starting to see now? We're starting to see that perhaps it's not so straightforward. That eating meat perhaps is a concession, as you said. It's a concession that we are allowed to. Today, following Noach, we are allowed to do so. Now, how do you understand, just interested to hear, how do you understand this? Can you see this flow? You've got three verses. You've got number on the source sheet. You've got number 6, number 7, and number 8. So, three parts. Part 1 is telling you that I'm allowing you animal food. Part 2 is telling you that don't have the blood. And then part 3 saying that you can't kill human beings. So how do you understand that? One way to understand it is that we're saying you can kill animals, don't eat the blood, right? And human beings, also, you have to be careful that you don't kill them. Meaning that animals are as important as the human beings, but just be careful that human beings have this image of God, and therefore you have to be careful not to eat it. That's one way of understanding it. And in that sense, what you see is that, in essence, human beings and animals are very similar, just that we have the Tzelem Elohim, right? And so God's saying, you can't kill, you shouldn't really kill at all. Human beings definitely know we have the image of God. Animals you can kill. Another way of understanding it is that God's saying you can kill the animals, just don't have their blood. And human beings are fundamentally different. And what I think here is that there's a mix of both. In that, and we've talked about this in the past, is that we human beings are part animal and part soul. Okay? We have our bodies are driven by animalistic drives. So we share many things as animals do. And in that sense, we are similar to animals. But on the other hand, we also have that soul, we also have that Tzelem Elohim, the image of God. We have this constant battle, this constant struggle between the neshama, which is our spiritual identity, our spiritual side, to our guf, our body, which is animalistic and material, and is pursuing material instincts and drives. And so, what comes out from all of this is, to summarize so far, it's part one, first half, to summarize what we said so far, is that what we've seen is that it's not so simple that eating meat is actually something which is lechatchila in the first instance. You could argue today it is, because after Noach, what happened to Noach, God permitted it, in the situation we find ourselves in it is, but it wasn't always like that, that's for sure, and only because of what happened with Cain and Hevel was a concession that God, as it were, changed his mind. Now, very interestingly, if you go back to if you have a look at number 1 and number 9 together, so we were talking about, we began the shiur by talking about how that when the Torah talks about slaughtering the animal or the bird, it says v'shafach edamo, you spill its blood and you cover it in earth. And the next pasuk after number 9, what does it say? Ki nefesh kol basar damo benafshohu, for the soul of all flesh, its blood is in its soul. That's identical to what was said to Noah when he came out of the ark. The same expression. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat the meat, he said, but be careful of the blood, it's got the life of the animal that you can't have. That same expression is what the Torah uses. The words after, when it says about spilling the blood and covering up the blood in earth. And what I think is going on here is the Torah saying, fine, you can slaughter animals. I made a concession to Noach already. But let's do our best not to actually go, to bring ourselves down all the way and treat this as just an act of killing. Because at the end of the day, you're spilling blood. So try to cover the blood. Try to be embarrassed about what you've done. Cover it up. And if we do a bracha on it. Because yes, that's the situation we find ourselves in. That we're post Noach. We're post the ark. And therefore we're allowed to eat. But at least the blood. Remember, this isn't something which is l'chatchila. And therefore we must always have in mind, there is a very sharp distinction between eating, let's say, salads, vegetables, and these types of things, to eating meat. Yes, we are allowed to eat meat, we're allowed to eat chicken, but perhaps it's not the ideal. If a person has same diet, same choice, what to eat, then according to what we've learned so far, it would be preferred for him to go for the vegetables. And something very interesting is as follows. Because the movement of vegetarianism, how old do you think it is?
30 years.
That's about 40, 50 years. The movement of 50 years. Yeah, just, yeah. And what's amazing is that if you have a look at the beginning of, let's go back to the beginning of the Torah. It's the beginning of the Torah when Adam sinned with Chava. And they were cursed. What was the curse of Adam? What was the curse of Adam?
Sweat of the brow,
you should work. Okay. What was the sin of Chava of Eve? Difficult childbirth. Okay. Let's go then to the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel. You remember what happened? They tried to build this tower all the way to heaven. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? What was the punishment? He mixed the languages. Okay, so we've got three punishments right at the beginning of Bereshit. Number one is men working hard with the sweat of their brow. Number two is women pain in childbirth. And number three is that human beings won't be able to communicate each other. Remember, they were all gathered together. They were all trying to build this tower. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to confuse your languages. Now, we know that the world is constantly evolving towards a final tikkun, a final completion, a final rectification. It takes time, but everything is a process. People think the messianic period is one which just comes from one day to the next. It's a process. You have to go through a different times, and evolution brings us towards the tikkun akali, the final rectification. Now, if you think about it, think of those three things which we've said. Men working hard, women childbirth, and number three, the Tower of Babel. How true is that today, those three punishments? Number one, men no longer work, very few men work by the sweat of their brow. They work hard, no question about it, but after the Industrial Revolution, the whole structure of men working has changed very, very, very much. It's changed. You know, we're no longer sweating when we are working. Women giving birth in pain. So, you know, it's not for me to talk about this, but I've never experienced it. But what we can definitely all agree on, we can definitely all agree that women giving birth today is far less pain than in the old days. You have epidurals. You know, think about it. Women used to die during childbirth. Right? Today, how many women die during childbirth? And more than that is, there's so many things you can take to alleviate the pain. Number three, the Tower of Babel. Everyone's scattered. Today, Google Translate. You can have conversations with people who you don't know the language at all. You know, you get a document, you put it in Google Translate, you can understand it. All these things which we were punished with is starting to be rectified, slowly but surely. Perhaps veganism is the same idea. We are slowly, and change always has to be incremental, we are slowly moving towards this tikkun. And therefore we're coming, this movement is taking pace, and as we know, you know, go back 10, 20 years ago, it was far less common. And who knows where it will be in 20, 30 years' time. It's gathering speed and pace. And perhaps this is my humble idea. I think this is all part of the general, lots of these things, by the way. Right? I won't go into this now, but I'm just going to throw it out. The quality of men and women happening today, that can be traced back to Adam and Chava before the sin of Adam. All of that is all the same idea. We're moving towards a tikkun, moving towards a rectified world. And these things are slowly but surely coming, and these things have to take time. There's a process to them. And so, with this in mind, you know, it seems that vegetarianism is something which we could be working towards as an ideal, perhaps. Now, I want to share with you now both Rav Kook and of Soloveitchik, their opinions on this. And then I'm also going to discuss what you may be thinking is, if this is true, what all that I've said, right, then how are you going to explain all the sacrifices in the Torah? Yeah, that's the obvious question. Yeah, we've had a very nice pasuk here, which very clearly seems to be indicating there's a problem. You're spilling blood when you're killing animals. So how are you going to understand all the sacrifices? How are you going to understand the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach? How are you going to understand the mitzvah of eating meat on Yom Tov? You know, what's going to happen to that? That's something we have to discuss. But firstly, let's start with Rav Kook. So who was Rav Kook? Rav Kook was the Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. He was a Kohen, and he was the former chief rabbi of, before Israel, Palestine. And he died in 1953. Now he was an amazing thinker. Well ahead of his times. And he, in various places, and he actually wrote an article on vegetarianism. And he argued that, ideally, we should all be vegetarians, and he himself only ate a bit of meat on Yom Tov. But he says, and he brings what we've said, everything we've discussed tonight, right, he talks about that, and his opinion is that ideally, and ideologically, we should all be aiming to being vegetarians. However, he says that he doesn't think it's something we should be pursuing at the moment. This, remember, he's writing this in 1940s or something like that. 30s, 40s, 50s, he's writing this. Not something we should be pursuing, because he says there are values which are far, the world's at, you know, in war, and to be focusing on something as minute as this, animal welfare and caring about animals, it's not the right time to be doing this. There are bigger things in the picture. That's one thing he says. And the second thing he goes on to say is that what we said earlier on is that this may blur the distinction between the animal kingdom and the human kingdom, and therefore it's not a good idea. Let's keep it separate and let's make it clear. Although ideologically, and ideally, it would be the right thing for us to be refraining from eating meat and to become vegetarian, but there are too many possible side effects that are happening, and therefore he says practically he wouldn't actually promote it. But he himself did abstain. He himself was a vegetarian. And then he asks, if this is true, then what's all the korbanot in the Torah? What are the korbanot in the Torah? So there are two ways of understanding this. Rav Kook says that, again, the korbanot were a concession. And he says something absolutely remarkable. You know, there's a pasuk which we say three times a day, Va'areva l'Adonai minhat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim k'mei ha'olam mukhshein kodmoniot. We pray every time we do the korbanot in Shachrit and Mincha. We say that the ketoret which we are saying, may it be as if, may the day come and we'll be able to offer it again. Va'areva l'Hashem, may it be sweet to Hashem, Minchat, listen carefully to the words, Minchat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, ki me'olam as it was. Says Rav Kook something unbelievable. He wants to argue that le'atid lavo, and the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and will be in our land, in the state of Israel, and with the Beit HaMikdash, with Mashiach, there will no longer be animal sacrifices. There will no longer be animal sacrifices. Therefore the Pasuk says, Va'areva l'Hashem, Minhat Yehuda. Mincha is a flower offering. There were animal offerings, meat, there were bird offerings in the Torah in Vayikra, but we also have in Vayikra Menachot. There's a whole Masechet, there's a whole tractate in the Gemara called Menachot. Right? And that's flower offerings. He says, from this verse you see that in the future we'll be moving towards where? When by the time Mashiach comes, there's only going to be flower offerings. There will no longer be animal offerings. And that's something remarkable, yeah, because we're used to thinking about the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt, and there's going to be the sacrifice of the Korban Pesach again, we're talking about everything. How he explains that, I don't know. How is he going to explain when Mashiach comes and we have the Beit HaMikdash, what's going to happen in Korban Pesach? Right? If there's only going to be Melachot comes to Korban Pesach, he doesn't explain that. But, again, this isn't the final say. What he's saying isn't unanimous. And there are others who believe that there's going to be full animals and everything again. But you see his ideology, how pro he was vegetarianism, and how he believed actually the Torah and various mitzvot in the Torah he actually explained using vegetarianism. So the mitzvah of Shatnez, for example, he understands is rooted in vegetarianism, the wool and linen, it's rooted within that. And not mixing the two, because you're not meant to mix the plant kingdom with the animal kingdom. You should be refraining from the animal kingdom, from wool. Right? That's how he understood various mitzvot in the Torah. And to the extent that he was willing to say that in the future, sacrifices will be annulled and there will only be flower sacrifice. That's something quite amazing. Rav Soloveitchik, this is Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, he was the grandson of Rav Chaim of Brisk, and he was, people call him, he was the, he himself didn't call himself modern Orthodox, he didn't, but people after him said that he espoused that approach. Right, he was a huge Talmid Chacham, and but at the same time he was very well learned in the sciences and philosophy. And of Soloveitchik, he himself actually took this even further. Soloveitchik himself was a full vegetarian, and he believed this is something which has to be practiced, something which not just ideally and ideologically was the right thing to do, but something which actually needed to happen. And he asks the same question about the Korbanot. What about the Korbanot in the Torah? And he says something like this. He says that when a person is born and a person lives his life, he should want to, out of thankfulness and gratitude to God, he should want to do anything for God. And he explains the story of Yitzchak. And Abraham, when he was willing to take Yitzchak as a human sacrifice and kill him, as God instructed him to do so, he explains that by saying that actually Abraham was so overwhelmed with that gratitude and love of giving him this life that he wanted to offer the life back to God. And this is why the Torah says human sacrifices aren't allowed. You're not allowed to do this, human sacrifices. Because there's this paradox. On the one hand, God's given us life. On the other hand, we want to offer that life back to God. And so, with Akedah, God was teaching Yitzchak that we don't do this. He went through this whole procedure to him, we don't do this. So Abraham says, fine, let me at least bring a ram. Let me be able to offer up the, at least to show, express my love through the ram instead of doing it through the human being. And therefore, Soloveitchik says that it's a necessary evil. It's really, we should be sacrificing ourselves. Really, we should be giving over ourselves to God. We can't do that. And the best we can do is that we offer animals. But that's only in the context of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order for us to be able to form that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have these animal sacrifices. That's only in the context of Avodah, of service in the temple. Outside of that, there isn't any of that. Now, according to Soloveitchik, it could well be that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, we'll have Korbanot. Because for him, he doesn't see a contradiction between being pro-vegetarian and at the same time having animal sacrifices, because that was within the context of the Beit HaMikdash, and that had to be, and that it was understandable that you had sacrifices of animals. And so, that's an interesting point. One final point, before I sum up everything, is that what about for those, if this is true, you know, that this pro-vegetarian stance, and I'm going to say something about it in a second, then what do you do on Shabbat and Yom Tov? You know, what happens on Chag? So, what's very interesting is that, and let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a convert, someone converting. And in order to convert someone, they have to be ready to accept 613 mitzvot of the Torah. Yeah? What happens if this convert is a vegetarian? And they say, look, full disclosure, I'm vegetarian, I'm not going to eat meat on the Chag. Can you convert them or not? You cannot convert someone who doesn't accept 613 mitzvot of the Torah. So is it an obligation to eat meat on Chag or not? What's very interesting is that the main obligation of eating meat, enjoying, the idea of eating meat on Chag is because of the mitzvah of simcha, of happiness. The halacha is that this is performed through wine actually. The mitzvah of having meat today isn't an obligation. Only in the times where we had the Beit HaMikdash and animals were sacrificed, then we had a mitzvah, an obligation to eat meat on festivals. But today, this is important to me now for Shavuot, because sometimes people ask, you know, 3 days this coming year, we got Shabbat, we got 2 days, do I have to have for every meal meat? The answer is, for one meal you should have meat, because there is a mitzvah according to some opinions, but there's no obligation to do so. Right? And this is, you know, the whole milky on Chag, on Shavuot, how do you reconcile that with the mitzvah of eating meat? So that's important to understand. The mitzvah of being happy on Chag is primarily with wine, not with meat. And therefore, there is no issue if one wanted to to convert and to say, I'm not going to eat meat, there's no obligation to do so on Yom Tov. The main obligation of Simchat Yom Tov today, post the Beit HaMikdash, is with wine and not with meat. And therefore that wouldn't pose a problem. So I just want to summarize it, and I want to say one final thing. I've given this whole shiur as if I'm a vegetarian myself, right? I'm not, yeah? I aspire to be one day, but the point is that I've given one-sided approach. Of course, you will find others who disagree and say then in the future there'll be full korbanot with animals and everything, and it's fine. There are some who even believe that being a vegetarian is something wrong, because what you're saying, what you're implying is that the Torah was wrong by having sacrifices. That's what we discussed this evening and tried to show how they don't necessarily contradict each other. And so, you know, there is of course another school of thought which you didn't go into, because for most people, knowing these what we've learned tonight is something far more surprising, because that we're not used to. We're used to understanding, as we began, the Torah is all based on meat and on animals and sacrifices. Any Simchas Day, you've got meat and you've got good food, and that's all fine. But what we've tried to show tonight, we've been through, is that firstly, when the Torah talks about slaughtering an animal, it uses terms, uses loaded metaphors, which seem to relate you back to the idea of murder and killing. You're doing something wrong. The Torah is not telling you doing something wrong, it's just telling, remember, you're killing a soul. You're not just cutting off a tree here, you're killing a soul. Always remember that when you're killing animals. And we went back to the beginning of creation, and we saw how there was a change in law, in that before the Ark, before Noah, human beings weren't allowed to eat meat, and afterwards they were allowed to. And we also explained how different the opinions of both Rabbi Cook and Rabbi Soloveitchik, who were great, great hachamim of their times, you know, huge, huge people, how they themselves were pro-vegetarianism, and they didn't see any contradiction, both from the Torah's perspective of the animal sacrifices and also from eating meat on Yom Tov. They didn't see any problem with that, and no contradiction to being a religious Jew. And so the final conclusion is, if you want to summarize everything we've said tonight in two sentences, is that really, when we're eating meat and we're eating chicken, which is fine, we should always remember when we're sitting down and we see this piece of meat on our plates, we should understand it's been through a process to get here on our plate. And the problem why we've become immune to it is because in the olden days, you know, you were part of the, you saw the shechita perhaps. If you didn't see the shechita, at least your mother was involved in kashering, taking out the blood. Today, just buy a packet, you put it in the pot, you put it on your plate, and we forget the whole process it's been through. And the amount of blood that's been spilled, the pain that the animal has gone through. Now, of course, we're allowed to eat it, and it's fine to eat it, and we can enjoy ourselves, but ultimately, what we've seen from tonight is that there seems to be some aspiration that one day we'll be aiming towards a more refined state and a more lofty state, and that we'll refrain from these things. And various people who have refrained and stopped eating meat and chicken have told me that they feel so much better. And that, you know, I'm sure that you feel less heavy, and you feel, because at the end of the day you're ingesting other life into you. And again, I'm not in any way implying that I'm on this level, and but I'm just trying to show that there is this within Torah, compatible with Torah, and perhaps even actually the Torah's will, that eventually we reach the stage where the world will be more refined, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will not need to have to kill animals in order to satiate our desires and pleasures. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we'll move on to the halakha aspect. So we've had these two shurim now. We've talked about the philosophy of kashrut, and now we've talked about vegetarianism. Next week we'll move on to meat and milk, the laws of understanding them, what happens. No, we're not just going to talk about the basic generic things, what happens if some gets mixed in, and 1/60th that we know. We're going to talk about things a bit more beyond that, and going into the details of the halachot of basar and chalav, children, how long you need to wait, and you know, and more interesting questions we'll discuss with Hashem next week at 7:45. Have a great evening.